that? I found it buried out in the backyard. Isn't it cool?
Yeah, if you like garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
I'm Joe.
And it is Talking Trash Day.
Oh, God, Talking Trash.
Talking Trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review films unless you know what the worst is. And so today, in February, we are doing our little listening to people that we've met. We always ask the question, hey, give us the worst movies ever seen. And if we haven't seen the movies that they name, we try to watch them. Every February, we've been watching movies people have suggested.
Yeah, because it's Love Month, and we want to give love to the people that
we've met.
And if they want to share their movies, we are so excited and welcoming to that because we always love recommendations.
Yes, and also we love watching bad movies. Face facts, or movies that people think are bad to try to, hope that they're not bad. And today we are talking about a movie that was suggested to us by Ken, Viking Ken on Instagram. We've been doing a whole month of just his suggestions because it gives four.
A whole month of Viking Ken. I have a question for Viking Ken. Have you actually seen these movies?
I would hope so. Otherwise, how would he name them? I don't know. But today we are talking about a movie that's tagline is Reborn for Revenge. That's a terrible, weak tagline.
Yeah.
Of course, we are talking about 2005's Doll Graveyard.
You said, of course, we're of talking course. About it. Why? Because so many people know of this ridiculous piece of crap.
Well, if you already clicked on this, you already see the name Doll Graveyard.
Oh, God. This is our second Charles Band film.
Of the month, yeah. Well, not of the whole show.
Since we've been doing it. Just of the month, yeah.
This is the second in a row. This is once again, like we just said, directed and written by Charles Band and August White, Dominic Meir's pen name. It has a 4 out of 10 on IMDb from only 951 reviewers. Wow. This was a treat. This week.
Okay, No. The treat is a bad word to use. It's actually a dreadful word to use. This was not a treat.
I found it to be a treat because I actually have some thoughts and things to talk about, but this will be a shorter episode, I would assume. We always say that, and it's never a short episode.
Well, this movie is only an hour and 11 minutes.
Yeah, which is weird because we stopped the movie at the credit start, and it was only an hour and 20 minutes, and then we went forwarded because we thought, yeah. Is this just a really long credit scene? And I'd say yes, yeah, it was a long credit scene. And it said an hour and 26 minutes.
Yeah.
And we minused off like 4 or 5 minutes because we got some commercials on Amazon Prime. And we're like, wait a minute, is this an hour and 11 minutes or is this an actual hour and 25 minute film?
There's only 5 people in this whole movie. How are the credits a half an hour?
I think there's 7 actors in this movie.
And the dolls don't get any credit, so what the fuck are we watching for 30 minutes?
Yeah, well, not much. Not much makes sense, and I have some thoughts. I don't know.
Special effects by Charles Band?
Oh, my God. If I listed everything Charles Band probably did on this, they'd be crazy.
You can tell when it's Charles Band.
Yeah, he did the craft services, I'm guessing. He brought a bag of chips.
Cheetos.
Which everybody's eating in this movie, the bag of chips.
Pork rinds.
Pork rinds.
Bubble yum.
And he got it all at the dollar store. So, okay.
Bartles and James.
Nice. There was a shocking bottle of recognizable Jack Daniels in this film that was clearly iced tea or brisk.
Yes. Yes, it was.
But that was the only brand name we could recognize. Otherwise, it was like a bag of Munchos, maybe? I don't even know.
I don't think they had Munchos. No, it was, I think it was called Braskets or something like that. Briskets.
I like briskets. Chum Chums. Yum Yums. A bag of Yum Yums. All right. So, okay. I'm looking forward to talking about this because, the movie starts off and I had to start taking notes. I rarely take notes because I usually remember everything. And I remember everything here.
Well, because it's only an hour long.
Yeah. But so much wackiness was happening that I had to start taking things down. And right out the gate, the film starts where I was like, wait a minute, what? Because it says 19, by the way, yeah, it doesn't start with the credits. That actually happens after the sequence. But 1911.
Yeah, and it feels every bit of 1911.
Yeah, you know how you know it's 1911? Because they put a haze.
There's a haze over the film.
The weak way out of how to do like a flashback stuff. 1911 Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to start questioning, wait a minute, Los Angeles in 1911 was there even like community zoning at the time? I think 1911 around the 1910s, they just started doing residential areas. I think Hollywood just started becoming a thing. Because around this time, if I'm not mistaken, there should have been like oiling companies and mining things going on. I don't think there was like huge residential areas yet.
I mean, so on September 4th, 1781, a group of 44 settlers known as Los Pobladores founded the Pueblo town they called El Pueblo de Nuestra Señora La Reina de Los Angeles.
Why are you giving me all this information? I understand
that's
that.
When Los Angeles
No,
was born.
That's when people found it and started doing finding out mining and finding out all the things they can get, natural resources. But when did, because this is a new age house that they're in.
Yeah, it is.
And there is no way in 1911 they already were having settlements building houses everywhere.
No, I don't think so. Nope.
But maybe, who knows? But let's just give the movie a benefit of the doubt because in the next shot, let's question it even more.
Oh my God.
Because we see a child playing with dolls in the. So much. First off, this looks like Millie Bobby Brown playing with these
dolls. The little girl?
I was like, what is this, Millie Bobby Brown? This is 11 hanging out. She's got, I believe it's four dolls.
Yeah.
And one of these dolls looks like an actual doll a kid would play with, which is a little porcelain baby doll. Kind of a little girl doll type of thing with a dress and everything. Okay, that one makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to question the other three dolls. 1911, why the hell does she have a German doll?
Yep.
A witch doctor-esque stereotype doll?
Mm-hmm. Looks like a Zuni doll, but it was set on fire.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. And a samurai doll. Now, World War I hasn't even happened. So why would anybody have created these dolls?
I don't know, but they're scary looking as hell.
And
which
why
is
does
the point.
She have them? Yeah, why does she? And she's playing with them, and she calls them her best friends.
Mm-hmm.
What is he supposed to be? A Chinaman? Or perhaps a samurai? You don't even know what a samurai is, do you? Do you? Well, he's not the type that you should have for a friend, that's for certain. Why, they're nothing but thugs, ruffians, the scourge of the Japanese people. Why, if they weren't fortunate enough to be employed by a royalty, they'd be nothing more than arm tramps. Hobos with swords.
Please, Daddy, they're my friends. Special friends.
Dolls for friends. Why can't you make any real friends, huh?
And she's not even frightened by them at all. I mean, if you look at these things, they're terrifying.
They all look like they've been caught in a freeze frame of mid-diarrhea push. Because they all look very sickly and like agonizing.
Like, I mean,
their mouths all like, open in weird positions.
It looks like Jester when he's like sad. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I guess that's true. But these have more wrinkles. They all have like extended mouths and eyes. Like they've been pushing.
Yeah.
At least the three of them. The German, the samurai, and which is, by the way, we know that this one's name is Ooga Booga. It's the only one that has one. So it's like more of an offensive terminology. The little girl keeps saying it in the sequence.
Yeah.
Ooga Booga, Ooga Booga, Ooga Booga. She just keeps slamming him down and down and down.
Help! Protect me! I will get you. Ooga Booga, Ooga Booga, Ooga Booga, Ooga Booga. Someone help me. Ooga Booga, Ooga Booga, Ooga Booga, Ooga Booga.
And that's the only one that has a name, mm-hmm. at least, I think. Everybody else is like samurai, German.
Yeah, and then there's the porcelain one that, I mean, I don't know if she ever had a name, but she looks the only one that's like semi-normal.
I think it's just called creepy. Baby doll.
Yeah, she's creepy as hell.
But Ooga Booga, Ooga Booga over and over and over until she knocks over a vase off of a little table. And this is when the father, she goes, oh, no, father's going to be so mad with me. And the father walks down the stairs in slow motion and looks at his watch and then begins in what I would say was the most comical asshole father talk I've ever heard in my life. He's like, you little shit, you know, like basically you dumb, dim-witted child. I've told you that you're never allowed to play in this room. What room is he talking about? This is the front door leading to the staircase.
It's literally the foyer of the house.
Yes.
Like, I don't understand. Doesn't she have a bedroom? Like, why are you sitting in the middle of the foyer in the house? Like right in front of the front door.
Do you consider that walk-in the room? I don't consider this a room.
It's not even a room.
It's a leading from the front door into the house. And she's not allowed to play. And she's obviously played in this room, quotes, multiple times. To the point where she's being told, you're not allowed to play in this room.
Yeah, you would think that if she had a father this brutal, she would definitely go out of her way to stay out of this room. So I don't understand this situation.
And this father is so angry.
He's furious. He takes his belt off. Like, he's going to beat her.
And then he says, and I wrote this down too, you slow, dim-witted child, a girl, you're too stupid to understand a beating. And then he says, so I'll find out something that will really make you understand. And that is, I'm going to throw your dolls away. In fact, we're going to go to the backyard, or it looks like the front yard, to bury your dolls. And she says they're her best friends.
She's crying. I do actually feel bad for this kid. I do. I feel bad for her. She's just, she made a mistake. She knocked over a vase or whatever. And her dad is like literally about to beat her. And he's going to make her dig the hole himself. Like, you know, make her dig the hole by herself.
She does.
And
it is the biggest hole you've ever seen for dolls to be thrown in it.
Yeah.
This is a grave site.
It is. And I said to you, I made mention, I was like, I think that she's digging her own grave. And
wouldn't you know it, Joe?
Wouldn't you know it, that's exactly what happened, because she was being helped out of the ditch by her father. She slipped and fell backwards into the ditch and she's dead. Now, I asked you, I said, what just caused her to die?
None of this makes sense.
She fell into dirt.
She fell down.
Unless there's a rock under there and she cracked her head.
But they don't show us anything. No. Even when they show the shot of her laying dead in the hole, she's covered in dirt already a little bit.
She's covered in dirt. And her father doesn't even try to see if she's alive.
No, he's like, it's 1911.
He just,
there's no houses around here. No one knows I did this. Yeah. I'm just going to dig it back in.
He just puts the freaking dirt over her body and buries her. She could be alive.
This might be a running question throughout this movie, but where's the mother?
Nah, why question it?
It's a running question that you got to keep going. Wait a minute. None of the people in this movie have a mother.
No, seems like they don't.
Okay. All right. And we're going to never talk about it. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Okay. So yeah, he digs her in. He just buries her in what we have to point this out. It's a deep hole.
It is. I said that to you. I was like, this is going to be her grave. I just had a feeling.
And the only reason we bring that up is the next shot. But no, what the next actual shot is a terrible CG transition with title cards.
Oh, it's bad.
And it the first thing that we see is something that says Astonishing Tales Presents.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even read it because they have a leaf in the foreground covering up the CG, and it goes by slowly. So this is time padding. If you cut down the two credit scenes in this movie, you are at least cutting this down 10 minutes.
You are. I mean, you're essentially left with like a 50-minute movie.
Yeah, I would say that. It's definitely maybe an hour at the most.
Yeah, because I think I even posted a whole thing on Instagram while the title cards were going. And then we had plenty of time.
I completely zoned out because this title card goes on forever. And I'm like, talk about Astonishing Tales. This is the least astonishing thing I've ever looked at. It looks so bad.
It was terrible. And you know what's funny is that people always say, they used to say that Ed Wood was the worst director and the worst person to do the title cards. But no.
Oh, who says that about the title cards in Plan 9? It's awesome. With the tombstones written on them?
I mean, I don't know. A lot of people would make fun of the way he did things, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's always been labeled the worst, that's always been a bizarre thing to me. Because even when it's the worst stuff he's worked on, which I will agree, he's got some movies that are terrible. Some of them are really fun, like stupid fun.
Oh, yeah.
And then you watch movies like this and you're like, wow. Like, talk about a person that was just trying to get something done and put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got here, because the next shot, we see a new family and we're in the present time, which is like 2005, which is questionable when this film was being filmed. And I have some thoughts on that because last week we did a movie that followed this movie,
mm-hmm.
only a year later. And two of the actors in that film are in this film, but they look at least 5 years younger.
They do. They do, because, you know, the blonde is going through the great eyebrow crisis of the 90s, which leads me to believe that this film was filmed in the 90s.
The music also suggests it, too. It seems like that 90-2000 start,
mm-hmm.
which makes me think that maybe this was filmed in 2001, 2000, and they couldn't finish it for years or just sat on a shelf.
Which is kind of shocking, since it's only an hour long.
That's what I know, and that's what made me think they're rushing this to get done. And they're re-editing it in shots, like in spaces.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times, the same thing happens twice.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me think that they filmed this over a couple years, and then it's at, and then they finally knew how to distribute it.
Yeah.
Because in the 2000s, I think that's when the, you know, video stores were cutting back on a lot of these cheap made productions.
Mm-hmm.
And so he probably had a struggle to get some of these movies out, and they had to find streaming and stuff like that later on.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that's what happened here. It has to be. So the first thing we see is this new family, and you realize that instantly that the guy who is this father of this new family that lives in this house is the same actor as the guy in the beginning
that killed his daughter. It's the same guy. I pointed it out to you. I was like, he has the same eyeballs. And also, they didn't even try. And now I'm thinking about it. They didn't even try to change his goatee or his face or anything.
Yeah, they did. They shaved his head. Because in the beginning, he kind of looked like Kevin Klein a little bit. Like a weirder Kevin Klein. And then all of a sudden, now he looks like the actor that plays Rorschach in Watchmen.
Oh, yeah. Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah, he kind of looks like him now with a shaved head. And I don't think any facial hair. I think it's just stubble. And in the opening, he had like an old-timey mustache.
No, he had a goatee. He had a full goatee, in this. When they showed him as the father. But now he has a teenage son and a teenage daughter, but no mother. No mother's present. The kids are obviously in their teens, so they're assholes to each other. So we find out that the father has a date, and the daughter wanted to go out with her friends, but it turns out that he's going out on a date, so he wants the daughter to stay with the kid. And all they're doing is fighting and bickering, the two teenagers.
Yeah, typical teenagers. The brother and sister can't get along.
Yeah, and what's strange is, like, they try to put some sort of air of mystery in this situation. Like, the father's like, I have a date. No, this is my first date with this person. And the daughter's like, who's the person? Who's the lucky girl? And he's like, oh, none of your business. Like, what is the secrecy? Like, I thought there was going to be some sort of, like, reveal.
And other odd stuff starts happening. Now, wouldn't you suggest that they've been living in this house for a while?
Yeah.
And so, why is it this particular day that things start occurring to them?
Yeah, it's really weird. Okay.
They have lived here for a while. That's what's weird. I will say that the daughter's name is Dee Dee.
Yeah.
And that son's name is Guy. Yeah. And they... like you said, they can't get along, and they are terrible to each other. And I will say that both actors, not so good.
The actress playing Dee Dee was just, I'm sorry, yeah. I can't.
She never went on to make more movies. She only worked as an assistant, like, behind the scenes on some stuff, but not much. I don't know which one's worse, because Guy, who actually went on to do, in real life, went on to do a couple other things, what you've seen, not much. He is talking like a robot in this whole film.
Yeah, he is.
I bet it's worth a lot of money.
About as much as these stupid dolls.
They're called action figures.
Not too gay.
Yeah, he's so robotic, and it's off-putting. But I guess the thing here is that he is really into action figures and sci-fi and stuff like that. And the sister is awful to him.
Making fun of him, calling a nerd, calling him a geek, calling him all sorts of names.
They use the word gay. They use gay terminologies a lot in this film, which made me also think it was early 2000.
Yeah.
It seems weird. They say it a lot. I kept thinking of Mike Dexter and...
oh, yeah. Can't really wait.
He's like, someone there called me a fag. Like, that's all I kept thinking about. Like, that scene. Every time someone called him that, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. It was a bit extra.
She's terrible. She actually comes, you know, I guess she's like kind of blackmailing the brother. But the brother is so angry at all the things that she's saying that he goes into the front or the backyard, which is really overgrown. And I didn't even notice. I was like, is this a new kid? Who is this kid? Because it seemed like just some random shots that we're doing of this kid just walking around hitting bushes and stuff. It just came out of nowhere. And he discovers in the back one of the dolls. He finds a sword.
It's like unearthed. Like the doll that was buried is now like just sitting on top of the dirt a little bit.
It's virtually just a little bit of sand on it, and you can see it sticking out of the dirt.
Yeah.
And they've lived here for a while. No groundskeeper, like nobody's cutting the lawn, no one is checking anything, just randomly finds this one day.
Yeah.
It's like, have you never seen this before?
Yeah, have you ever been outside of your house?
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, I can understand if they just moved in.
Yeah, no.
But they haven't, because she has friends at school. He has like all the stuff set up in his house.
Yeah, they didn't just move in.
So he finds the samurai doll, and he brings it into the house to clean it up. At the same time, when the daughter is like, the father's going to go out on the date, the father is now playing with the pocket watch that is in the 1911 flashback, where the guy had the same pocket watch. He now has it. So you're thinking, this is the same actor. Maybe he's a descendant, but he killed his only kid.
Right. I mean, we assume that's his only kid that he killed. But yeah, I mean, this is the whole trope of the ancestor has to look exactly like, you know, the one from the 1900s or whatever, you know, the early 1900s. This guy looks exactly like the original guy, and he has a pocket watch.
It's so a trope. Like, yeah, it's a cliche in Hollywood where they hire the same act that make the actor play their like relative.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, after time, having sex with multiple different people will make a new person.
The way you look, yeah.
You're not going to look like Marty McFly every single time.
Exactly.
You know? Unless you are inbreeding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this guy, I don't know. he's not really acting. He's very dry.
I guess.
I don't.
He's doing a voice and stuff at least. He's trying. I don't know. It's better than a lot of the other stuff. The funny thing is the little girl in the opening is the one of the only ones that went on to do a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was in a show with Elijah Wood called Dirk Gently that was popular for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So at least she went on
to do that. Oh, I asked you. I actually said, is that little girl going to grow up to be Charles Band's wife?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. That could have been. I didn't want to look in. I was a little creeped out to look into it because I didn't want to find out it was true. Oh. Hopefully, it looks like she got away from Charles Band. The rest of them have not.
Oh, yeah. No, they haven't. It's a shame.
Yeah. So when the father is like getting us consumed by the watch, like it's making him act weird. To the daughter. Yeah. He actually snaps at the daughter a little bit. And then he's like, I'm sorry. And he's going to go out. And he's telling the sister, you got to watch your brother, which is, they're only a couple years younger than each other.
I'm a little weirded out by the age thing in this movie, and I'll explain why. It's like 2 years,
yeah.
But
we'll get into that now. But
the father says, no, you know, you can't go out with your friends tonight. I need you to stay home. So what she does after the father leaves is she calls up her girlfriend.
Well, actually, she goes to hit the son's room and basically threatens him.
Yeah.
She threatens him to, like, not tell dad that she's going to invite her friends over. And she sees the doll for the first time while he's cleaning it. And he's like, she's like, what, do you got another toy? And he's like, it's an action figure, and I found it in the backyard. Isn't it cool? She says, I wrote this down too. She's like, aren't they cool? And she goes, if you like garbage. And I kept thinking, that's the new clip for the beginning of the show.
Yes, if you like garbage. Yep.
And she's like, I'm going to threaten you, and I'll tell dad about. And she goes and gets his, first off, a sister finding your Playboy under your bed. How did she even discover that was down there?
Yeah, like,
there?
Why are you even in this room ever?
And it's like, let the kid have a Playboy. Like, why? And she's like, I'm going to tell dad about your Playboy. And he's like, oh, that's okay, because I can tell him about all your weed that you have in your closet and all this other stuff that you have in your closet.
So they're at odds, but, like, eventually, you know, she does say, screw it, I'm gonna have my friends come over, and she doesn't even care if the brother's gonna, like, rat her out or whatever. But can we just talk about the friends?
So the friends show up, the girls show up, and
this is that girl from Evil Bong,
the actress that, and she looks so much younger that we were just talking about. Her name is Olivia, the character. She shows up, and also she brings another friend named Terry. Now, I don't know why anybody's friends with Terry. I don't know why Terry's friends with them, because Terry even says, well, thank you for inviting me, to our Dee Dee character. And Dee Dee responds by going, yeah, it's all good.
Like I'm doing you a favor. But, like, this is just another classic situation of never understanding why people are friends, because they're just, why would these people even be friends? That you got two girls who like to party and be crazy and act like, you know, nut jobs, and then you got this girl who's kind of prudish and plain and doesn't want to do anything and doesn't want to drink or, you know, smoke weed or anything. And she's that girl. That's Terry.
Yeah.
She's cute in a nerdy way, like kind of like a plain Jane kind of cute way.
Yeah, she seems a little bit more of like, you know, like hippie-ish dressing and stuff like that, where the other one is dressed like your late 90s.
Like she's going to a Blink-182 concert.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking about. They both show up, and they brought champagne and chips. Those are the yum-yums that we were talking about before, the whatever the hell. And chips and champagne, and they're going to have a girls' night out. You know, the girls' night out when you stay in. So, yeah, the one girl, Olivia, says she invited boys.
Of course she invited boys. Of course she did, because that's what they do. You can't just have a girls' night and not invite the boys.
Yeah.
Come on.
The kid.
That's what happened in Slumber Party Massacre, too, also.
That's the plot line to every horror movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
The kid puts the doll on a shelf next to his other action figures, and the doll blinks.
I thought that was cool. Okay, first of all, you do not agree, but I like this doll. It looks like it has tomatoes, like Campbell's soup tomato paste cans on its on the sides of its head.
It does look like little tiny cans, but it is the flaps of the his samurai helmet.
I get it, but it looks like a can of like tomato paste on each side. It's cute. I like it.
Well, I just can't get over his face because it does look like someone's grabbing his balls and pulling them.
Oh my god.
It looks like it's yeah. agonizing.
This doll is fucking ugly. I mean, it's an ugly doll. It's supposed to be.
He can hear you, Joe.
But
he's on the shelf and we see him blink, so then we know something's up. Which doesn't get explained why he blinks now. I guess because he was discovered, but I feel like he had already had an adventure because he was sticking out of the ground.
I mean, was he because he got cleaned off and now he's like, he's renewed? Yeah,
that's weird.
And there's no rhyme or reason to this.
I can only explain that it's either earthquakes or they blame why he's on Earth. Or he has had, there's a prequel here that has also occurred.
Oh my God.
Because the father said he found the watch in the backyard too.
Did he? I was going to say, how did he obtain this watch?
He said he found it near the old house in the back.
Okay.
So that house is still standing from the previous the flashback.
Yeah.
Which seems like impossible.
So all of this is on their property? Los Angeles.
I was wondering this too. Is this a guest house? Is he rich? We don't really know any of it. We don't see it. We only see certain locations over and over inside the house.
I mean, it's just the one location, pretty yeah, much. Pretty just much. Like the bedroom yeah. or whatever.
The famous room in front of the staircase.
This movie, I don't know what's worse. Well, never mind. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. So the next thing that happens is the guys show up while the girls are getting stoned downstairs, and not Terry. They're getting drunk and stoned.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's a guy from Evil Bong.
And so two guys show up to grab the guy, the son, the brother, and torture him by going into his room. And they kind of like, I don't know why they're doing this, but they keep calling him, you know, gay, and they keep calling him a geek. They say geek a shitload in this too.
Yeah.
You hear that? He's being a smart ass. I hate smart asses!
Lighten up.
Wait till I get you back at school, geek. You see, you think you're safe here because you're in your home turf? You just run about here with dolls? But they're gonna protect you or something. Here's what I think of smart ass faggot geeks.
What, with the hottest girl in school? My friends all sold me out. Someone in there called me a fag.
They tie him up and have all... Oh, by the way, we skipped over this, but Terry, we have to kind of talk about this. Before this all happens, guy comes downstairs and sees the girls and he goes, oh, I'm going to tell... You know, you're having friends over? And it's like, just get over it. But Terry and guy... seem to know each other. And Terry, this is where it starts off, where Terry is extremely hot for Guy, who seems like a younger kid.
I'm a little, I'm very uncomfortable with this situation. First of all, he looks like a kid. He looks like he's 12.
Yeah. I mean, looked it up and we found out they're only 2 years apart.
Yes, but still, like, I feel weird. Like, this is weird.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's got fuck me face all over.
They film this scene where they talk to each other. So funny. She says to him, they're so close to each other's face. And she says, did you get any more action figures?
Oh, recently? She's, like, so and over he's the like, top.
Whoa. Yeah. I scored me an Hydro Man on eBay. Right? And I was like... In my head, I just hear Jingle All the Way stuff.
Yes.
Hydro Man. Hydro Man. She goes, oh, Hydro Man, isn't he the one that turns into water? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, well, what gave it away?
Yeah, I don't know.
What gave it away with Hydro Man?
Like, honestly, she could not be, like, more into this kid. And it was really off-putting. I didn't like it.
It's wild how into him she is. She kisses him on the side of his face.
For no reason.
And yeah, she's like, it was nice talking to you. And she gives him a kiss on the side of his face. And he's like, holy shit. But not holy shit enough to be like, I want to talk to her all night. Or maybe I can hang out with her. He just goes up to his room, sits on his bed, and talks to his new samurai doll by saying, She's so cool. And oh my God, she knows to call them action figures and not toys.
Yeah. And then the two idiots burst in and they hog tie him. Now, what's the reasoning? Like, why would you tie him up? He's obviously not going to be bothering you. He'll stay in his room and play with his action figures. What are you doing to this poor kid?
But Joe, they take Hydro Man and they throw it on the floor and they step on it.
Yeah, that was just not
That's
cool.
the last straw here.
And so the samurai doll opens his eyes and starts blinking. It's like, we know something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But as this is happening, though, there's some kind of weird possession happening to
Guy. Which we didn't have told to us for a while.
No, like his eyes, like he underneath looks like his beat. Eyes, like he someone beat him up and he has like black eyes and stuff. And like it, and he's so sweaty, like something's happening to him. Like he's getting possessed.
Well, we thought this was a mess up or a scene was cut where he got punched in the face and he has a black eye now. Because mm-hmm. you were like, does he have a black eye? And I'm like, he does. What happened?
Yeah, but when they show his whole entire face, because he was smushed into the bed.
Later on, that's
it
way
looked
later.
Like he really was having some sort of possession situation.
Well, yeah. Well, next time we actually get to see his whole face, you get that explained. But we didn't know what was happening. He looked like he got his ass beat.
Mm-hmm.
And now they tied his hands behind his back, but he can't move at all.
He's just lying face down, but like you still have legs.
Yeah, first time he's on the bed. The next time we see him, he's on the floor.
Yeah, and also you can open your bedroom door by turning around and using your hands.
Yeah.
And say to your sister, hey, they hogtied me. Can you help me?
Yeah,
you know?
And you got to question why the samurai doesn't cut the ropes.
Right. Just, I don't get it.
It's like a phone cord, too, by the way. I don't even know what they use.
Yeah, I have no idea, but it looks like, I mean, he can get out of this. That's number one. But also, like, what is happening with this, like, situation? Because you hear whispers, like a soft voice saying, Guy.
Not here. Yeah, kind of, maybe
a
in the
little
background,
bit.
But you don't
yeah,
really know
you
to
do
even pay
hear
attention.
It. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I heard it.
The samurai does look off, pissed, or diarrhea-like, and then we see the other dolls popping out of the ground. In the moonlight.
Yeah. I'm like, how did he not see those? You know, like,
yeah,
if you found one, wouldn't you dig further to see if there's more? Because I would.
Oh, but you also have to question why this one, when they were all buried together in a deep hole, would be up on the ground, but the skeleton of the little girl isn't.
Right. No, her bones didn't come up or anything.
Yeah. There's nothing sticking out of the ground. And animals would have dug this up because they would have smelled it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, that 1911... palm tree dwelling creatures that would have got it.
Yeah,
know?
For sure.
And also if they built more houses around this area through the years while Los Angeles
That's
started getting,
right.
yeah, why didn't they uncover it?
There was like construction crews at some point around this.
They
since
could have said that the house was built on them or something, mm-hmm. or there was an earthquake that day or, you know, something to establish why this is all happening.
No, why bother?
And it could have been easily. It could have just been easily done in dialogue.
Yeah.
But the boys go and they scare the girls. And we get the guy, we get to understand the relationships here. The one guy who's kind of like, he's wearing a Letterman jacket. He's into the Dee Dee, the sister. They're together or they're in a relationship. Whereas the other jock asshole who is...
The guy from Evil Bong.
He's the character that goes out of his way to be a bad guy.
Yeah, he...
You know, he's one of those characters.
He's like the over-the-top jerk mm-hmm. that he just... He's insulting. He's just a freaking douche. And he has like a little thing that he starts like a little argument with the other girl from Evil Bong. And they're together in that movie. So it's funny.
They're not together. She's the main good guy. She's with the dork in Evil Bong.
Oh, is she with the dork?
Yeah. Oh no, okay. Charles Band's wife is with him.
That's right. Charles Band's wife. So they're not together in this, but she apparently, we get the impression from this guy is like so nasty. He basically calls her a slut. And
he says he's trying to get Terry because there's a challenge.
Yeah, he likes Terry because like football, there's a challenge.
This is his reasoning.
He doesn't need to be on a field that's already been plowed many times. He wants to have, like, you know, an unplowed field to frolic around in. That's what he says.
I like how you keep going. You're like, and then
I'm like, this is the worst thing I have ever heard.
He doesn't need to score a touchdown in the infield that's already had many touchdowns. Yeah,
he doesn't need a touchdown because so many people have touched down into her vagina.
Even the brother says something. He says, you know what the difference between you and the, you know how you and the Eiffel Tower, something like that. You and the Eiffel Tower are similar?
Because
only a few guys haven't gone up to the Eiffel Tower.
No, only a few guys haven't been up the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so, was like there are easier ways just to call her a slut, dude. Call her a slut, you know? Like, so she doesn't have a guy, you know, she's pissed off and she stammers off and she's not into this guy at all, obviously, because he's a total douche. But Terry... First of all, let me tell you something. If I went over to my friend's house and she went upstairs with her boyfriend to have sex,
yeah,
right, I would not be cleaning the dishes. Yeah. I would be like, okay, you're having sex. I'm stuck with this bimbo here. And I don't have any, like, I'm not drunk. I haven't drank anything or smoked anything. The last thing I'm going to do in this house is dishes. I'm out. Peace out. Like, I would just leave. But this stupid
There's
girl
only one friend like that.
Is going to clean up the kitchen. And she says to the douchebag guy, oh, I'm going to clean up the kitchen for her, you know, so her dad doesn't get mad. Now, mind you, these people have been drinking and smoking weed in this house. Where are they getting this alcohol? Obviously, this alcohol is her father's, minus the champagne that the one girl brought. All of this alcohol. Where does this guy did not bring in a bottle of freaking Jack Daniels. There are beer cans everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, where are they getting this alcohol? And you're telling me this father's not going to smell the weed in the house? Like, it's just so ridiculous. Like, so you're concerned about doing the dishes? Like,
well, Terry's like the good person.
Oh, God, she's a freaking moron.
That person. I'm the one that goes and cleans up at the party because I know no one else is going to help that person the next day.
You do. But I'm just saying, like, would you actually, while your friend is in the next room having sex, you're going to make it your task to clean the house?
Well, that's a question, is that Terry doesn't seem friendly with either of these people, because even the girl who brought her, Olivia, they have a moment where Olivia basically says, hey, let's go pretend to have a threesome with this guy and, like, you know, trick him and make him look like an asshole, you know, because I don't like him.
Well, he's really bad to her.
And then basically she's kind of referencing the fact that Terry's got to get out of her shit. But Terry's like, you're an asshole whore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's like, close your legs.
Yeah. Close your legs.
And, you know, because she's all like, oh, let's go fuck around with this guy and make him think that he's wanted and then, like, you know, walk away. And I was like, okay, well, doing shit like that is what makes you a bad person. But
so I was like, who's friends with Terry? Why are you here? Get out of here.
Right, that's what
and
I'm saying.
And she goes and washes the dishes, and the jock, well, the asshole guy, follows her into the kitchen. And he kind of sets up that he's going to be a nice guy with her.
And he's playing that angle so he can get into her pants quicker.
Which seems like Terry's like, okay, cool. Yeah. You're a nice guy. Let's clean dishes together in his house. Weird thing. And while the couple go upstairs into her room to have sex, and the other girl puts on bad music and dances around for a while. It's terrible, terrible music. The two go upstairs to have sex. They go in the room, and the sister, Dee Dee, she says that she read Cosmopolitan and read How to Please a Man, although these two have not had sex before.
Nope.
She whips out handcuffs. So her first experience sexually is to dominate this guy,
mm-hmm.
right? So he gets all into it. He gets in his underwear and gets put into a sofa chair in her room. And then she handcuffs his hands behind his back in that chair and then says, I have to get some stuff out of the closet. Close your eyes. Now, she goes in this closet forever. Now, we didn't know. I was really worried what was going to happen here, but I thought, is she going to come out dressed like a dominatrix, which would have made me lose my shit laughing? But she's in there for a while. So long that the German doll now pops up between his legs.
Okay, we should just explain real quickly that his helmet is a spike.
Yeah, like the German stormtrooper, I think they're called, helmets that have those big pointy spikes on it. And at first, one angle of this movie, I thought this was the character from Puppet Master. There's a doll called Torch who has a German helmet on as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is the size of a finger. And mm-hmm. like Torch is a small one. I think the Germans, they have a small little point. This one is a giant, giant spike.
Yeah.
And it sits at his legs for a while. And he's kind of like, what the hell? And he's just staring at it. It's staring at him. It just making noises like, mm-hmm. And then it decides to jam its head into what we're guessing is his crotch.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's definitely his penis that he's getting jammed up there. But
blood is shooting on his face and he's screaming.
Yeah.
And it's spraying his face. And the doll is between his legs for quite a bit, just jamming itself.
Yeah, but he can't do anything about it because he's handcuffed.
He can jump up. He's only handcuffed. He can jump up on his feet and run or squish it with his thighs.
That's
or
true.
Do anything. Instead, he just allows the thing to continuously jam into his crotch area
mm-hmm.
and let blood spray all over his face. We're not really sure what is happening to this guy.
No, we don't know. The
sister finally comes out of the closet, and she has, first I thought it was a golf club.
It was not. It was.
It is a spanking device?
It's a dominatrix whip. Yeah. It's like
she
a little whip. Yeah.
A whip. It was like one of those flyleaf looking whips, dominatrix whips, where you spank someone with like the end.
Yeah.
It's like a horse. They sometimes hit the horse on the back when they're riding jockeys ride.
Yeah. Well, she smacks the thing away from his crotch as she's screaming, and the thing goes flying. But the fucking guy dies.
The guy dies.
He dies. So I was like, oh, okay. So that's interesting.
Lorena Bobbitt cut off her husband's penis.
Yes.
And he survived.
Yeah.
What killed this guy?
I do not know.
I mean,
shock?
It's only like a pinky thin, like sized needle.
Yeah. It was like he was getting a catheter.
Yeah, I saw. Oh, I like that's how your mind was going. My mind was like, it was up the grundle.
Oh my God.
It was up in, between the balls and the legs. Like, I didn't know where it was going. I was like, what could have killed him here?
I don't know. I mean, it just, I got nothing, man.
Yeah, he just drops dead. He's like the little girl in the beginning in the hole. Just died.
Yeah.
Everybody just dies in this
It was
hole.
Like, bleh.
Yeah.
But like, so Dee Dee runs out, but does she bring anyone into the room to see what happened?
No, because the German is just staring at her because the German now grabs a Luger.
Oh my God. So he has this teeny tiny gun.
That fires bullets that make full gunshot sound effects.
It's hysterical. It was so funny.
What the hell is that thing? What does it look like? It's a fucking doll.
While this is all happening, downstairs, the guy washing dishes with came onto Terry, and she said she like rejected him and said you're an asshole and left. We don't know where Terry goes for quite a while, but at the same time, the guy sits down and gets drunk at the table, and the girl Olivia stops dancing and comes in here and comes onto him heavily, and she actually gets on top of him and starts like saying that, oh, you talked shit about everything before. And he's like, I was only joking. And she's like, oh, cool. You were joking. And she's like, yeah, I'm into you, honey, and whatever. She takes off her shirt and then she punches him. I would say gives him a little slap and says, you're a scumbag. But the slap is a terribly 80-yard punch in the face sound effect from a kung fu movie.
It is bad. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you can't do any better than that. It would have probably been easier if she actually slapped him.
This was my laugh out loud moment.
Nobody's leftovers, asshole.
Oh, come on, baby. You can't leave me like this.
Here. Cut a hole in that. At least it won't say no.
Come on.
She runs out of the room. And by the way, she leaves her shirt. But it's on in the next shot.
Oh my God, yeah, I noticed that too.
She actually throws him a cantaloupe and says, have fun with this. Okay, I only bring that up for one reason, because in the next scene, someone has carved a hole to have sex with the cantaloupe.
Why do you think that it was carved to have sex with?
Because it was a joke. That's a joke, because the next thing he does is grab it and stick his fingers in it and thinks about it.
I mean, it's a little perverse.
It's perverse, but it's also, why was this done? Who carved this hole? When did this happen? That means as a scene, when she threw it at him, he actually carved a hole thinking about it.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I have no idea. So she goes upstairs, and because Dee Dee comes out screaming, because Dee Dee actually is like shocked, and she sees the doll, and it whips out the gun, and she calls out for Olivia, and then Olivia is right at the door.
She was just waiting for her cue.
Yeah, she just comes in, and they see the gunshots, and they go, "What is that?" And Dee Dee and Olivia go, "Oh my God!" And the gun's shooting at them. Now the bullets would be like not even pebbles being shot at you. They would be like little tiny splinters.
It would be probably like a grain of salt.
Yeah, but it's making full gunshot sounds.
It's hysterical.
And they run out into the hallway screaming. And they go downstairs. Well, before that, while they go downstairs, the guy's sitting at the table looking at the cantaloupe to have sex with it.
Okay, right? He was having some sort of vision about doing that.
Yeah, and he stuck his fingers and started thinking about it.
I'm going to have to turn this off.
But all of a sudden, the Ooga Booga doll is in front of him standing there. Now, the exchange, by the way, he is plastered drunk because he is gulping Jack Daniels.
And there's no less than 12 beer cans in front of him, too. So I don't know how this kid is still alive. I mean, he drank so much.
Yeah. And before, like, he looks at the Ooga Booga. First off, he looks at it, then looks around the room a lot. And we're like, what the hell's happening? I guess he's supposed to be like, is this a dream? Is there anybody else here? Is someone messing with me? But then he looks at the Ooga Booga doll, who's standing literally face to face with him. And he says, which any human being would in this moment, he says, "Hey, you're working out. You're looking good. You're ripped. You've been lifting weights."
"Dude, you're buffed. You work out? Pump the iron? You're in the woods, are you? You better not be bud. Keep it clean. Stay out the juice. Of course, this kind of juice is okay. In fact, I highly recommend it for a strict, complete regimen."
I'm like, what the fuck?
And the thing stabs him in the eye.
But the thing, it doesn't even look muscular. It looks like a burnt matchstick. It's just so thin.
Terrible. It's terrible. But I couldn't help laughing at it because his eyeballs were so big and falling out of it.
Oh, it's so bad.
So I was like, oh my God. I felt like saying, oh my God, Charles Band, you need to like put some super glue and fix them eyeballs because that's bad.
It looks like in shock.
Oh my God. He sticks him in the fucking eye with his spear.
And he sits there and lets it stick it into his eye and he just screams. And then it just gently goes across his throat and completely slit his throat and kills him.
It was amazing because, like, if you look at this doll, like, everything on it is paper mache, including the spear, which is, I think, put on there by, like, aluminum foil and then, like, dabbed over with gray paint. And it just fluidly slices his throat.
It just kills him.
It was just like,
I think
what?
That even with his throat slit, he actually says something to him. I don't even know if you caught that. He does say something when he dies. I thought he was going to make a joke here. Because why not at this moment after he already talked about working out with the doll? Like, I thought that he was going to say, "Yo, bro," when he died or something like that.
Oh my
why,
God,
bro?
That's so stupid.
Why didn't they go for it? Make it funny. Like, I mean, trying to make this funny. Because why would they allow him to say, "Hey, man, you've been working out? You're looking ripped, dude."
The dialogue is so dreadful. And none of it makes any sense. I'm still... by this time in the movie, which is... I don't know. We have 5 minutes left.
No, unfortunately, don't.
I'm still sitting there wondering, why is this kid possessed? How is this happening?
Joe, none of that has come in yet. We haven't even explained that yet.
No, he was like some sort of episode when they tied him up.
No, he just got tied up, and then we just saw Black Eye. We didn't see anything else. We have not seen him again.
I heard the voices, Scotty. I heard the voices.
If anything, it's like this faint soundtrack thing, so you don't know if it's a part of the soundtrack because the doll's moving, We don't know anything yet because the movie hasn't even tried to explain itself yet. But now the big question here is the two girls are running around the house. Where is Terry? Okay, so let's just get this information.
Terry's outside doing the gardening.
Maybe. There's a thunderstorm outside, by the way. That's the only thing I can explain that they're trying to say while no one can hear anything. And also the CD player at one point, she turns it up, but then she turns it down when she goes in the room with him. That's the only thing that this movie tries to explain why no one can hear anything. But Terry is missing when a guy just got gutted in his balls, screaming. Gunshot sound effects that were full. Gunshot sound effects. Two girls in the hallway screaming and running down the stairs. And a guy in the kitchen being murdered screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, in the next scene, we see knocking at the door for the brother. That means that she would have been in the hallway right where the two girls are screaming where the gunshots are happening.
Yeah.
Okay. She says, and then my favorite thing, she goes, she opens the door and she goes, Guy. She finds him on the floor and she goes, didn't you hear me? I've been calling you for a while. So I'm like, wait, did Terry stand in the hallway the entire time?
All of that was happening? Okay.
I don't know. But even the girls go, where's Terry? I think she's up with Guy, one of the girls says. How would she know that? Right? So she goes and she unties Guy. And now this is where we see that Guy's face is completely, he's got rings around his eyes. He's completely looking sickly. She says, are you okay? You look bad. And he's like, I don't know. Something's really wrong with me. I keep blacking out. And he's like, wait a minute. And she goes, oh, my God, you're Hydro Man doll. And he says, yeah, those jerks did it. And they told when they tied me up. Also, my samurai's missing. He was right here a minute ago. And she's like, samurai action figure? What are you talking about? And he's like, I don't know, but something's wrong. And that's when we start hearing what sounds like little girl whispering, which I thought was a part of the soundtrack originally, which you were talking about. It's obviously the little girl that died in the opening. And she's, it's talking in Guy's mind. And then Guy starts blacking out, standing up. And Terry can't talk to him. And she's trying to get him to come out of it. And by the way, before that happens, Terry admits that she's into him.
Mm-hmm.
Because Terry's like, you know, oh, I wrote this down too.
I see you in the hallway.
When I see you in the halls, you're so smart and funny. I like the same things as you, sci-fi and superheroes. And he's like, really?
Whoa.
Yeah, she knows what Hydro Man is, man. She's like, yeah. And again, she's like sitting with him on his bed. And I was like, wow, Terry is full on involved in this guy.
Oh, she's
putting it out there.
It's so creepy, though, because he looks like a little boy.
And he looks sick as hell, and she's saying all this now.
Yeah,
and
I don't like it at all.
And that's when he starts getting possessed, and he starts saying he's Sophia. And he keeps waking up out of it. He's like, I don't know what's going on. She's like, well, we got to tell somebody about this. But that is when the samurai doll shows up and goes to attack Terry, and we hear someone say, they're here to, I'll protect you. They're here to protect you.
Hmm.
And so.
I don't recall that.
Yeah. You can hear the little girl whispering, I'll take care of you. So it goes to attack Terry, but Guy stands in front of her and says, stop, don't. And the doll stops.
Yeah. So he's obviously Amelia. Amelia has been like reincarnated into him, I guess.
I think it's Sophia.
Or Sophia, sorry.
Amelia, where'd you get that?
Amelia Perez.
Well, I guess you all know what we just watched last night.
We watched that movie last night. I can't stop saying Amelia Perez. I can't stop saying it. Anyway, Sophia. Sophia. Like, oh my God. So she's like all like reincarnated and shit in there. And she's controlling the doll.
And they find out that they can control the dolls. At the same time this is all happening, downstairs they discover the one body, and they're like, we got to get our cell phone to call the cops. And now the phone is sitting on the baby doll character on the couch. So one of them's like, I don't know, I don't want to go near it. She finally goes over and it bites her hand. It's Olivia. It bites her hand. Its whole mouth opens up like Jaws, and it just starts biting her hand.
Doesn't it, like, attack her face, too? She has, like,
later on, there is a sequence that goes on forever, because this movie doesn't know how to have other people in the room at the same time. So characters will stand in one room while the other character's right next door in the next room.
And, they're just and no one for even checks queue. On them. Yeah, no one. And this house is only like a regular single family home. So what is happening? Where's everyone?
Where is everyone? But yeah, so it attacks her and then they start fighting off. And then that's when the German shows up again. So they're kind of like fighting off those characters downstairs with the fire poker.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl has her hand bit. And she says, and I had to write this down too. She goes, I'm dying. I'm going to die. And she says, you're not going to die. And she says, I don't know. It hurts really bad. I think I'm dying.
Man, I'm going to die, aren't I? You're not going to die. What if that thing has rabies? It can't have rabies. It's not alive. But it was moving. The little fucker bit me. You're not going to die, okay? I just know I am. It hurts so much. You'll be okay, Liz.
I was like, your hand is bit. What is happening? It doesn't even make sense. So now Terry and Guy try to go in the hallway, and he collapses into the hallway of the upstairs, and he goes into full Sophia mode. He says it multiple times. Guy's gone. I am Sophia now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the samurai doll attacks Terry again and cuts her foot, but Guy is able to wake up out of it and say stop again.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry's like, it hurts, but I'm going to be okay.
Thank but you, Terry.
Next
Thank
time you. I not might not be so lucky.
Well, you know, you could also run out the front door.
What I was screaming throughout this movie was leave.
Nobody runs out the fucking
no
door.
No one ever opens the Nobody. Front door or calls the cops. There's phones in every room.
So you're telling me that in 2005, they didn't still have home phone lines?
That's what I'm saying. And they seem to have tied Guy up with phone line.
Looking for those stupid flip phones.
Yeah, that's a thing. The flip phones.
The Motorola flip
their cell
phones.
Yeah. So.
Like, stupid broads, get the fuck out of the house, you stupid fools. You have a car outside.
Yeah. So, multiple times we get the same scene of Guy getting possessed and telling them that he's Sophia, because all four of them have met back up and they're at the staircase and they're trying to come up with a plan to, and they're like, one of them finally says, we have to go. And the brother, I guess the sister tells the brother, the boys are dead. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he hugs her and they have a moment. And Terry's like, this is a nice moment and all, but I don't know if this is the right moment.
Yeah, like, we need to get the hell out of
and
here.
And LeBlanc's like, yeah, honestly, cut the shit out and have that moment later. We need to leave. And then TD looks at her and he goes, you're a bitch.
Guys, this is really a sweet moment of warm sibling support and all, but we don't really have the time. You know, Liv, you could really be a bitch sometimes. Maybe, but I'm also right. We've got to get out of here. Guys, she's right.
12 seconds later.
Wait a minute, I forgot my purse. Get it, Olivia.
What? Right when they're about to leave, Olivia says, we can't leave. I have to get my purse. What
Meanwhile,
the fuck?
At this point, she had already got bitten on the face by the fucking doll.
No, that's
right?
The next scene when she goes to get the purse.
Oh, that's right. When she gets the purse, she gets the purse.
So she goes right from the front staircase hall, like that little room, the foray, like you said, and walks into the living room, which is an open, there's no door.
No, there's no door.
So she just walks right next to them and then goes to get her purse. And when she grabs her purse, she sees the cell phone on the floor hang at the edge of the couch.
This is the longest padded time thing I've ever seen in my life. Like,
so instead of walking to the phone like a normal human
grabbing
being, she gets on all fours and crawls toward it in at least a 5-minute sequence of staring at it and walking, crawling toward it.
Yes, that's 5 minutes we could have shaved off this movie. We're now at 45 minutes.
The baby doll jumps up and bites her face. Which, by the way, we can see the prosthetics already there. And
yeah.
You could tell the actress just had the doll in her hand and put it right on her face.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing.
It bit her face and she's like, ugh.
And then she had like a freaking fruit roll up on her face.
And Terry runs into the room. They were standing right there. You think they would be like, hey, will you hurry up? Or you think the other dolls would be attacking them in the next room or something?
Nope.
Nope. They just walk in. They go, oh my God, what happened?
Nope.
But when they all go in that room, Terry goes in that room. Dee Dee goes in that room. Guy at the front door is like, I'm full on Sophia now. And a doll's you know, kill them. But then the father walks in the front door for no reason, just walks in the front door, looks at his watch, looks at his son on the floor and says, "You dumb child, you dumb, dim-witted kid, you know, and your stupid toys and all that." And he's full possessed too.
He's like, "Daddy? Daddy, no, I'm sorry."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Wait a minute. What the fuck is going on?"
They're both possessed, but we don't even know why.
Wasn't this asshole supposed to be on a date?
Yeah.
I mean, it's only been an hour.
It's 40 minutes, apparently, by the time standards.
Depending on what we can shave off of this movie, we're at 38 minutes.
Yeah.
This movie should have been 27 minutes long.
But the dad, Sophia says, dolls attack him. So, because he takes off his belt to whip her, or him, and the dolls attack him and start eating him and biting him and stabbing him and all this stuff, and he's on the floor, and then he goes, "Guy, dad?" And he wakes up out of it. Now, he multiple times has said, "Guy is gone.
Yeah, Guy is gone.
I am only Zool now," right?
And but is the father dead? Because, I mean, I don't know.
We don't know.
He's just laying there.
We don't know what happens because he jumps up Guy and says, "Stop to all the dolls." And then this is really funny because all the other characters have been missing. They walk in the doorway and go, "Oh, Guy, dad."
Yeah.
And they're all just standing there. And then Terry goes, "We have to bury the dolls. The little girl that died here is possessing him and controlling the dolls, and we have to bear." Terry knows everything.
How?
Terry is the best person.
How does anyone know any of this?
Terry, and by the way, even Guy says it, "You're the coolest chick." And I agree with you. I agree with you,
I'm
Guy.
I'm sorry.
Terry is a cool chick. She knows who Hydro Man is, and she knows exactly how the dolls are being brought
but
to life.
How
and how to
the
stop them.
Fuck do you know this? You don't know anything that happened prior to anything. Yeah. There's not a fucking Necronomicon there.
I know. There's
like,
no prior information. And then she goes, and now she becomes the boss in the movie. Terry just goes, "Hey, Dee Dee, go get a blanket. We're going to wrap the dolls up in it, and we're going to bury them." Okay.
And the dolls just
shot,
allow this to happen because
the
what do they do?
Are now just limp dolls.
How?
And
why?
By the way, they're not wrapped in the blanket anymore.
No.
He has the dolls loose and he puts them in the hole in the thunderstorm. And he's putting them slowly in the hole. Terry comes over to Guy after he puts them all in the hole and she says, You are really brave and awesome in there. He hadn't done a damn thing. And she kisses him again. Then Guy slowly backs off. Behind a giant, it looks
pillar?
Like a tombstone.
It looks like a tombstone, but it's like a concrete wall.
Yeah, he just backs off behind the wall, and in the lightning, like flashing, and then the camera slowly goes around to the tombstone, the back of the wall thing, and now it's just so a dead corpse like Sophia, who now has the hair of what's her face from Ozark.
Oh, Ruthie.
It's like Ruthie's hair. It's like curls, which that girl did not have.
No.
It looks like crusty curls.
And she looked like she's been through something.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? And then it just goes, Finn.
It's over.
That's it.
But what the fuck? Okay. First of all, can you explain the father to me? Explain
I don't
the father
know.
To me. Is he an ancestor or not? Do they tell us? No. How does he have that pocket watch? He found it. Okay. Why is it possessing him? I don't understand.
How is Sophia possessing the dolls? How are the dolls coming to life?
How are they coming to life?
Is Sophia possessing Guy? What made Guy get possessed? Just
right.
that he found the doll?
Who is she possessing Guy to get revenge on at this point? Her father is long dead. Okay, so there's that. But also, the fact that the dolls just allow themselves to get reburied in the earth.
Yeah.
Like,
no
they
fight.
Were literally killing everyone.
Yeah.
They were trying to kill everyone.
When Sophia is possessing Guy, she just keeps saying, "You hurt my friends with this poker, with the fire poker."
Okay.
And she's like, "I want revenge." And they're like, "No." And Terry's like, "Sophia, we're not hurting you. We're not trying to hurt your friends. They're hurting us." And you think there would be more to that, but mm-hmm. they just keep
no.
acting like it didn't happen. And they just keep repeating, "I'm not Guy anymore. I'm Sophia."
But
that's
they don't
over
even know
and over.
What the fuck happened in this house? They don't even know why. They don't even know who Sophia is. They don't know anything about this. And like, they're taking this so well. The fact that these dolls are alive and killing people. And they're not even trying to figure out like anything, like what could have happened in this house or if there's a history or anything. They just automatically know that guy is possessed by Sophia. Okay, who the fuck is Sophia?
Yeah.
You know, like, how do they even know anything?
And then the fact that the three of them are sitting outside, right? The three other girls, right? And one's got a slashed foot and the other one's got a bite on her hand that she said she was dying from.
Oh, and the one on her face.
On her face. And they're just watching the dolls be put in like it's some kind of sad moment.
Right.
They have no idea what's happening. They're just taking it very cool. And it's only because Terry keeps going, here's the plot. And it doesn't make any sense and it doesn't have an ending. All I could think at the end of this movie was, how are they going to explain all the corpses?
Right. One of you must have killed him.
Yeah. There is no dolls now. There's no proof.
I mean, come on. There's even if there was, the dolls were actually, you know, still in the house. Who is going to believe that these little dolls killed these people?
Exactly.
They're going to think that you're a freaking bunch of lunatics. And so what is going to happen at the end here? Is the father dead? Is he possessed still?
They don't even tell us. They just jump past it. They just bury them.
Now, are they saying when he dug, when he pulled the one doll out of the ground, that completely like unleashed Amelia? Not Amelia. Sophia? Is that what they're saying? So when the doll came out and he was unearthed, that means that unleashed Sophia also?
I don't know.
And who is she getting revenge on? Her father's gone. Why is she getting revenge? I don't understand.
I don't know. They saw that guy was getting abused by those jocks and thought the same thing. And he needs to be. But why possess him?
Yeah, I don't get it.
And
is it because she wanted to be free into the world? So she jumped into his body? I can't believe we're putting this much thought into this.
It's so bad. It didn't put any thought into itself. And I keep thinking because the scenes just ended and we didn't actually get to see any of that. I think that they didn't film it, and that's why the movie's so short. I mean, think that this was like sitting there and they didn't know how to edit it, and they re-edited it, and they just put it out there.
Yeah, and there's no
trivia. I can't find
anything. There's no trivia on this. Also, the trailer, if you notice, there's like some kind of clown doll. That's not even in the movie.
I think if you watch the trailer, it's actually shots of all the other killer dolls, and I think it's probably something like Charles Band has brought you these killer doll movies, because Demonic Toys and Puppet Master were before this.
Yes.
And so they're probably doing the Legend and now the new Killer Dolls movie.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. It is so bizarre, but I kept thinking this is without a doubt we can't film anymore. We don't have any money for it. Just slap it together and make it, just put it out.
Yeah.
And then pad the time with credits.
I mean, why though? I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. Like, what is the reasoning? You could have easily made like a short, like a 30-minute short out of this movie. The padding of the time was so obvious and in your face.
Yes.
And we're just sitting there like, are you kidding me? It's taking her this long to crawl to the phone? Like, I mean, it was just a waste. Everything was a waste. They could have shaved an hour off of this.
And I would say that, I guess when you come from one of these movies, you're basically looking for creepy dolls, murders, sex, and boobs, unfortunately, these kind of movies.
Of course.
And you don't get almost any of that in this movie.
No.
The dolls are even comical more than they're scary.
There's nothing. Even the scene where the sister is about to have sex with her boyfriend, she's in the closet, like rummaging around and fumbling around for something for 20 minutes.
Yeah, at
and
least we're like having her come out in some kind of weird, sexy outfit or something, yeah, something would have been like clever.
No.
But instead, it would have been really funny if she came out in a dominatrix outfit. And he was like, what?
Yeah.
Anything that would have been funnier.
None of this makes any sense. It is the dumbest concept, and the acting was fucking atrocious. I mean, the acting is just awful.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah, if you like garbage.
I've seen movies like, you know, that were made for $10,000 that had better acting than this piece of crap.
This made Evil Bong look better.
It did. Oh my god, I was thinking that throughout the whole movie. I was like, I would rather watch Evil Bong over this. And Evil Bong was trash.
But Evil Bong did all of the things that this movie was missing.
True.
Like, it had all of the aspects we were talking about.
It did have stuff. Yeah, it did have the
boobs. It didn't have the the deaths that were that creative. It was all the same death, but it felt like it was like, and it was actually trying to make a mythology, although it didn't also explain itself very well.
Mm-mm.
This movie is way worse.
Yeah, this movie is worse. I mean, honestly, I gave Evil Bong a 2 because it was...
You gave it a 3. I gave it a 4.
Oh, I gave it a 2. It's
on
right
the
here.
Show, you said 3.
Did I?
Yep.
Previously on Talking Trash.
What are we scoring this?
Christ. I'm going to give it a 2.
A 2.
It's bad.
I wanted to give it near a 4, but it's a 3.
Oh, a 3. Okay. Yeah. This movie, I can't. This was not even a movie. It just wasn't a movie at all. It was just... It seemed amateur, but like...
Oh, and we didn't even talk about how bad it looks. Some scenes look bad, but any outside scenes, and there's a lot of scenes that the production on it, the transfer of whatever they did is jumpy and scattery, and sometimes it looks like the film is like junk. But mm-hmm. then other scenes, it wasn't bad. Like the last half in the right. house wasn't, it looked more produced. But one, I was thinking about Evil Bong, about how I was talking about certain scenes look like an actual movie and certain scenes look cheap. This movie actually looked like that cheap section instead of that high, that for some reason, weird shots and Evil Bong feeling more produced.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
I know. It seemed like Evil Bong was slightly better quality, but I mean, I don't want to say slightly, it's actually better quality, but I feel like as much as I hated Evil Bong, this movie, this is bad. This isn't even a movie.
It's and the funniest thing is I know I'll forget we watch this like tomorrow.
Oh, I've already like, forgotten. Doll Graveyard? What?
Yeah.
That's like on one of our shitty box sets that has 150 movies on it for $2.99.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked we don't have, we might. It might be above the TV in our dollar store buys. I don't even know.
It probably is. You know, I just have to say this, though. I don't understand why Charles Band feels the need to do quantity over quality. You know, like he makes so many movies and they're all garbage.
Yeah. And I want to say that, too, because I was thinking about that during this movie. I'm like, you remember? I wanted to start off by just saying, like, do you remember when Charles Band used to make good stuff? Like, I mean, he put out, like, Reanimator and From Beyond.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you say. The first couple of Puppet Masters are actually kind of interesting.
He produced my movie Dolls. Stuart Gordon directed it, but.
Yeah. I mean, he produced these things. He worked mm-hmm. on these movies and did a lot of interesting stuff on these movies. And there's some really fun, creative, crazy stuff that came out of his little production company. And then all of a sudden you see crap like this where he's just, like, pushing out junk.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I just read recently while researching him a little bit recently for these two movies, I saw that he was starting another production company.
What?
Or having a new sub company to make movies because they're trying to return to his better days and they're going to make more. They're trying to pick up indie filmmakers. It's like,
okay.
They're having a film that's coming out. And he says, oh, this is where I'm going to put out my better stuff. But I'm like,
what?
So you're basically saying Full Moon is just garbage now, which sucks because Full Moon used to stand for something interesting.
I mean, it did. I mean, he's produced some. I mean, we've seen a lot of his movies. Dr. Mordred From Beyond.
Yeah, I know. There's some stuff there that they're fascinating. It's just like, oh, that's a shame. You know, like what he is now. And seeing, like, this is 2005. This was, like, early. And he's only done worse things since. And I can't, like, I want to see Evil Bong 2 and all that. Because I want to know how bad they all start looking.
Yeah. I know. I'm kind of curious, too.
I'm curious, yeah.
But I got to say, I mean, if you look at his resume, it seems like there's just too many, but not enough good ones. Like there's just, it's just like it's just the quantity over quality. We can't have it. It needs to be more quality, period. Yeah. It's just a bunch of trash. He can't be like a trash master forever.
So I completely agree with you. Unfortunately, I think that's where he is now. You know, it's some of these old producers that we grew up with their careers are pretty much floundered. Lloyd Kaufman and him both are just kind of doing straight trash for streaming.
Yeah, it's just how many can I make in this amount of time?
Yeah.
And just get it out there. It's not like they care about the quality of the actors or the quality of the script or any of that.
Yeah.
There's just none of it. Like, this is just, he's a trash master.
Yeah, I mean, he always felt like a guy who might have been funneling mob money, you know, at like tax write-offs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I never really knew, you know, and now it seems even worse.
Yeah.
He seems like he's constantly going bankrupt or his companies are falling apart. And I always wonder, like, you know, why? But then I see things that he does like, oh, get our streaming service and get all these DVDs for free.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he made money off of that.
I don't think so. Yeah.
I mean, they sent us an entire box set of movies on Blu-ray for free just for signing up for a streaming service that didn't even cost much.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So that's odd.
Did we ever watch all those movies?
I've seen them all. They're Puppetmaster movies. I've seen them all. We can do a full conversation about that somewhere else. But yeah, that it's odd. So what are we giving this as a score out of 10?
I can't. I have to give it a 1.
A 1?
It's trash. The acting was absolutely dreadful. The script was terrible. The filmmaking itself was just worse.
Oh. How many times have you said that very same thing to me? Time after time, you promise not to, yet you do it anyway.
Please, not again!
Perhaps you're right. You're too stupid to even understand a good beating. What then would make you realize? What would be more effective than a beating?
I can't get this at one.
I'm giving it a 2.
I couldn't give this a 1.
Why?
I can't give it a 1. I don't know. We've seen movies that I'm like, awful.
No, this movie was fucking awful. I mean, they didn't even try. There was no trying at all. None. They didn't try with the gore. They didn't try even making the puppets look decent at all.
Sometimes it's like...
The picture was jumping all over the place. There was just no rhyme or reason to the directing here. The story didn't make any sense at all. There was no sense to anything that was happening in this movie. Zero. Why was the father possessed all of a sudden? Why did this little girl that got killed want revenge on this?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Okay? I'm going to give it an extra star.
Oh my God.
Just for Hydro Man and Terry.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, Guy, what happened to your Hydro Man?
Give you one guess. What are you doing up here anyway?
I just came up to say hi, I guess.
Okay. Hi. What about the party?
Oh, it's some party. But anyway, I thought I'd have more fun up here with you.
Really?
Yeah. I always thought you were kind of cool.
Cool. Olivia's not the only one who's drunk around here.
I can't with you. For those two things, Terry didn't even do anything. You think she was like a badass or something? No.
No,
she was a nerd sympathizer. She's a nerd.
I'm gonna give a star for any movie that has a nerd sympathizing girl.
No.
They call her? What did he say, that you're a badass chick or something? You were laughing, and I was like, you're a badass chick.
No, you're not giving this another star because she's a nerd sympathizer.
I'm giving it a 2. I'm doing 2. So you're saying a 1, which means that it is definitely going on the top 10 of our worst movies we've been doing since we've been doing the podcast.
Yeah, this movie is freaking awful.
So where do you want it on our top 10? Because you're saying it's moving into the top 10. And we started this list not too long ago. We stopped adding every movie, but any movies that we think enter the top 10, we're going to put on.
I'll tell you what, though. I did not hate this movie as much as I hated Showgirls.
How is that possible?
I mean, Showgirls is fucking
Showgirls
awful.
Is bad, but there's no way you know that the production is at least better. You know there was gone into that.
No, I hated Showgirls. I hated it.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter about
all
production.
The things that you're saying are bad about this movie. At least does.
After I watched Showgirls, I felt like I had to go and get my eyeballs replaced in surgery. Okay, that's how bad it was. I hated it. I couldn't get the vision.
But that's number 9, Joe.
I just, God damn it.
That's number 9 on our list. There's no way.
I don't care. Just put it wherever you want.
Wow, thanks.
I mean, it doesn't matter if I say, like, okay, all right.
Showgirls has been beat by 8 other movies. So at this point, Showgirls isn't even in the competition. Because this movie, you're saying a 1.
It's a 1.
And there's nothing you want to give any points to, really.
No.
That means it would have to go above Showgirls.
All right.
It's not worse than Star Wars Holiday Special.
No.
That's the worst thing ever.
Okay, it's not worse than that.
I don't think it's worse than Dinosaur. I think it might be worse than Dinosaur Island.
I think it's worse than Dinosaur Island. It's worse than Dinosaur Island because at least we got a little bit of action in that and some funny like CG with the dinosaurs. We had something in that.
Okay, this is going at number 2.
There it is.
Okay.
This movie sucked.
Ken is killing it. He has 2 movies now.
In our top 10?
No, Evil Bong just got kicked out. That's number 11 now.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right, Ken, I think you did it. I think you really did it.
I would definitely watch Dinosaur Island again over this movie.
I would watch Dinosaur Island in a heartbeat over this. Yeah. This movie was crap.
And Dinosaur Island is bad.
This movie had nothing. I was waiting for it to end. I was like, there's no answers. There's nothing there's only questions here. There's no answers. And at the end of the day, I didn't care about any of these characters. I didn't like them all. They were terrible. All of them. All douchebags.
He might do it again in next week's movie.
Oh, Christ. I don't know, man. I think, Ken, I think you're going to be banned from this situation.
Yeah, you don't have a 10-star review, right?
Are you kidding me?
No. Is there a 9?
No. I told you, there's no 10s, 9s, or 8s.
There's got to be a 6.
There's a 7.
I figured. Okay.
I mean, if you want me to read the 7, I'll do so, but...
I would love to know why someone thinks it's better than what you thought of 1-star.
Oh, there's some trash 1-star reviews, but I mean, they're comical. It's like, it doesn't really mean... I can't read them because they're just jokey. But, yeah, you want me to read the... I mean, there's a 7. I see a 7 here. I can do that. Oh, wait, hold on a second. I think I did find some 10s. Oh my God, I think I did. I think I found some 10s.
Well, what's this segment called, Joe?
This is a Why We Can't Have Nice Things. When I read out 2 extremes of online reviews, a 1 10-star and a 1 1-star review, as proof that people cannot rate movies. They cannot review movies properly, and they ruin it for everybody. And a lot of people post these reviews just to amp up the ratings on purpose. All right, I did find a 10-star. Let's do it. All right. Let's see. I'm just going to pick a random one. I have 2 of them. Here we go. 10 out of 10. Great. This is one of those low-budget movies. It's really short, but it's good. I loved it. I bet a lot of people didn't. This was different from what I thought it was going to be. The dolls in this movie, and there's a 12-year-old boy with friends that kill... Okay, first of all, this is not in English. This person can't speak.
You gotta read it exactly like it says.
Okay, I was trying to fix it. But this is me reading it exactly how it's...
Thank you.
I'm not gonna fix it. Okay, ready. This is one... There's no punctuation, by the way.
Thank you.
This is one of those low-budget movies. It's really short, but good. I loved it. I bet a lot of people didn't. This was different from what I thought it was gonna be. The dolls in this movie is the 12-year-old boy friends that kill whoever pick on him. Only 2 people die. Those are the 2 girls' boyfriends. They have a party. Then the dolls get revenge when they see guy getting picked on by them. But in one scene where they get out of the house on of the girls say she forgot her purse. Did you notice when she says purse, it was really a phone? And it also takes a while for her to get the purse. She grabs it slowly. You should grab it fast and run. But good movie. Not rated, but contains violence, gore, drug use, and some language. Okay, none of that is English.
Wow.
But this is a 10 out of 10.
That's a 10.
And at the end... He's even
starting to pick it apart as he was going in.
Not a good movie. Excuse me. A good movie... But not rated, contains violence, gore, and drug use in some language. Okay, well, thanks for that, I guess. I don't understand this.
What was the person's name? Is it Ooga Booga?
Theola One.
Oh.
Theola One. I couldn't even read this. There's no punctuation, and none of it makes any sense. So that was actually...
I like that as you're writing a review like that, you start going, oh, yeah, there was some flaws.
Jesus Christ.
10 out of 10.
All right, I guess I have to read the... I can't.
Well, you can't give it a one star. You can't read the one star because you gave it a one star. And this whole movie, this whole conversation was you picking the movie apart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm not reading
that. You already did it.
Yeah.
You're part of the problem.
I am part of the problem. I hate this movie. It's stupid. There's no answers. There's just... The dolls don't... I don't know. I just can't. You know, you're making me feel bad about the one star, but I feel like I'm trying to think of what is redeeming about this. I can't find anything. There's no answers. There's no answers in this movie. We don't know what is going on. The filming's crap. The actors are crap. The dolls look like crap.
You're staring into my soul as you're saying this.
I'm out. I'm taking my one. I'm going home.
All right. So there it is. Doll Graveyard. I would love to, if anybody's actually seen this thing, I would love to hear about it. Hit us on Instagram at the Just Another Movie Night and Joe at the Crafty Misfit. We'd love to hear your ideas. And if you ever have any other suggestions or movies that you think are the worst movies like this, where it's the deep dive where we have to find the movies online somewhere, please tell us. I'd love to hear about it. And until next time, thanks, Ken. Have a good one. Bye.
Come on, guys. Let's go.
How you doing, guy?
Okay.
Get any new action figures lately?
I scored a Hydro Man on eBay.
Cool. Isn't he the one who can turn into water?
Wow. Surprised you know that.
A girl's gotta keep up with her superheroes.
Oh, for goodness sakes, get on with it, girl! Good-for-nothing pieces of junk!